BustedTees.com, like t-shirts. I have a question. Why have you not already gone there and started buying all the cool geeky gear they offer? Look, I'm not just saying this because they're a sponsor. I mean, they are, so it helps. But I'm saying this because it's true and because we love you and we want to see you smile, boo. They have retro movie, game, and pop culture inspired clothing and apparel, and their stuff is amazing. Go over, drop some gear in your cart, then drop our promo code at checkout. That's my name, Jason, 25945, and they're going to hook you up with a sweet discount. You're happy, we're happy, peace falls across the world, and you look badass when it happens. That code again is Jason, 25945, and that website is BustedTees.com. Designs that pop culture.
Well, it is so good to be here. Looks like I have a moment to whisper sweet somethings in your ears. Have you guys gone to the website? No? You totally need to. There is so much goodness over there. Upcoming interviews, links to friends, podcasts, and of course, all the juicy swag you should be buying. You're also going to find links to our social media, which is probably the best way to check those out. But I'm going to give it to you now, so you can't say you don't have it. Tweedly-deedly-doo. Twitter. Mix_tape_pod. Of course, there's Instagram. The_mix_tape_podcast. Facebook. The original headache. But we are the aspirin.
TikTok.
No, that is not your biological clock, my friend. We actually have videos on there. And
coming soon,
YouTube. You should be on all these, but
dang it,
at least try a couple. We love you all. Stay awesome.
You know, it's good to know that after we're going into our fifth season that we still have it's good to know.
Right. Wow. right off the rip.
I didn't even make it. I didn't even make it like, oh, it's not playing the stroke song.
The computer's having a stroke.
I was going to say it's good to know that after all this time we still have technical difficulties.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Who has a mixtape? Who needs a mixtape? Who makes a mixtape? Who needs a mixtape? You do, too.
Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Raise the roof and move your feet. Come along and laugh with our mixtape.
Ha 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 ha!
Welcome, 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 welcome. Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Sing along and clap to the beat. Settle in and listen to our mixtape. And other music vanishes. Enjoy your buttock sandwiches.
Okay. Take two. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Jason Emmett.
I'm Casey Masterpiece.
I'm Twisted Kid Matt.
Oh, wait, we're going to totally
start over. We're ignoring what happened.
Well, we were. Now we have to acknowledge it.
Just say your name.
I'm Steve.
Oh, God. So what happened? It might make, you know what? It's going to make pre-roll.
It's fine.
It's pre-roll. Y'all get to hear it.
What happened was.
They're going to hear it. It's pre-roll right now. They've listened to it already. They know that how stupid everything just went. All right. Shut up.
There was a Weezer tribute concert.
That's not going to make pre-roll. That would be too long of a pre-roll. But there was Matt and I singing El Scorcho, or as I was calling it, El Storco. El Stroco. That would have been great.
El Stroco.
El Stroco.
That's what I'm by myself on Taco Tuesday.
A
what? Why Taco Tuesday? Are you El Stroco? He's like, I don't know. It just sounded good.
Very specifically.
I need some sour cream. All right. So welcome to the show. We started off. I would say we started off like this, but we are an hour later than usual only because of all the technical difficulties and stupidity.
Yeah, that Max Headroom and everything going on.
So this is going to be fun because we are all a little hyper, I think, right now. So this week's episode, we're going to be talking about acoustic covers. And one of the things that has happened in the past on the show, we've talked about a few times.
Now I see the assignment. Okay.
What?
Just not covers. I shouldn't say covers. Just acoustics. Some of the best acoustics. Most of them are covers, but not all of them are covers on the show. It's just acoustic and pure. Yeah, you're right. You called me out. I'm fine.
Gotcha. No, it wasn't intentional, but sure.
No, you're right, though. It's not acoustic covers. It's literally just most of them are covers, but no.
Acoustic sessions.
Just acoustic.
There you go. That makes sense.
One of the things we've talked about on the show in the past is sometimes one will become kind of a big deal or very well known, so much so that we all think each other are going to mention it, so none of us end up mentioning it. So I'm just going to let you guys know there's no Nirvana.
We kind of safeguard ourselves just almost to a detriment.
Yeah, well, we never know what each other are going to pick, and we all think, well, these guys will send me songs. I'm like, nope, somebody already picked it. And so they're always trying to figure it out.
Well, happens when you're like a month and a half behind.
Month and a half behind.
Yeah, when everyone puts a list in the last second.
Fucking Stewie sends. So we were sitting on the last recording, and we figured out what our next four episodes were going to be. And before Stewie ever walked out of the room, he sends me his, which is great, by the way. But then when we're talking the other day, he's like, I can't believe you didn't pick something. I was like, dude, why would I pick it? You gave me your list before you walked out of the room. I already knew what you had.
There was legitimately no way that you could pick it because you already knew that it was claimed.
Yeah. Like, so our next episode.
I think I was more shocked for the decade ones or the.
Yeah.
And
so
the Christmas song.
Kind of fill you guys in on what the next two episodes after this are going to be for the end of the year. We decided we're going to do a Christmas song episode. We all picked some Christmas songs. And then we're going to do, this one's kind of hard to explain, but we took each decade. The 80s, the 90s, and the first decade of the 2000s. And each of us picked one song that either defined or could be considered a theme song for that. And we all are going to have to back up why we chose that. This is going to be here's some quick notes now. Why do you think that song works? Or why do you think that song, what about it incorporates? So those are coming up. And that's the one Stewie's like, I can't believe nobody. But I think when you go back over, it's through the sheer number of songs that could work.
True. Man.
And I think everybody's head just went somewhere. Trust me, everybody's head went somewhere a little bit different because I've seen the lists. We don't want to talk about where Matt's head goes. Oh, no, my God, it's scary. All right. It's a scary, scary place.
1920s.
The 1920s.
Yeah.
Matt's like, how are we doing this decade? Why do I never talk about the 40s?
You guys want to go see some talkies next week?
Yeah. Talkies.
This one might be in color this time.
Hot diggity.
did he
go down
see
to the old soda fountain and get some sarsaparilla?
Kevin seen the video for the slide whistle?
I don't think so. He's not on TikTok, so I'll have to send it to him outside of it. Yeah. We'll send you the video. All right, so let's get started. We're going to start on Matt's acoustic list this week. And I already warned him before the show starts that one of these I'm going to have to have a discussion on whether I think it's acoustic or not, because, well, it's not. But it starts acoustically.
Yeah.
It does, but it definitely does not keep acoustically. However,
it builds. It builds.
This first song is most definitely, and this is a wonderful song. I'm going to say this about Matt this week. He brought three bands, because we always do. Two of them I knew. One of them I did not. Mm. But I didn't know any of his songs. So this is a really great song. So here you go. Here is Matt's first pick.
If I ever leave this world alive, I'll take on all the sadness that I left behind. If I ever leave this world alive, the madness that you feel will soon subside.
I should say it's a slight lie to say I've never heard this song before. I have, and I'll talk about that in a second. But before we get started, just Stewie, KC, based off what you just heard, do you know the band?
Not would that be the
Oh, it's on the tip of his tongue. Yeah. I see Stu's head.
Was it Dropkick Murphys?
It is not. It is the other one. It is the Flogging Mollies.
Okay.
I knew they were going to go with one of the two.
It's the other one. Yeah.
This is if I ever leave this world alive by Flogging Molly, 1997, Alive Behind the Green Door, which that makes me laugh every time I hear it. That's the name of the album.
why does that make you laugh?
Behind the Green Door. I'm pretty sure Behind the Green Door was the name of like a porn or something. Anyway, that being said, maybe it was off the 97 album Behind the Green Door. It's also been attributed. It was. It came out in 97, but it's also been attributed to 2002's Drunken Lullabies. And I even read it was on another album. So that being said.
Yeah, it's I believe, originally from Drunken Lullabies and the Live from Behind the Green Door, whatever's a live album they did.
Okay, well, I know the song originally came out in 97, so that's all I can definitely give you. That much is accurate. So the song itself delves into the concept of mortality and the idea of leaving a lasting impact on the world after we pass. It reminds us to cherish our time on Earth and to make a positive difference in the lives of those around us. The lyrics explore the fear of dying without truly living, emphasizing the importance of living life to the fullest. Acoustic guitar, some acoustic violin, accordion, tin whistle, mandolin, bass, drums. I mean, that's really all that's going on in the background of this song. It's really catchy. It is a really soothing acoustic song to listen to. The song has gained recognition beyond the world of Celtic punk, which, you know, that's pretty cool. And it was featured in various films, and that's how I know I've seen it, because it was featured in 2001's A Knight's Tale, which I've seen many times. So I have heard the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I've seen that movie so many times and didn't notice that.
I'm guessing probably just the music, but maybe not. And if so, it's in the background somewhere. But the music in A Knight's Tale is awesome.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that kind of sets that movie off. So it's kind of cool that it's in there. So, yeah, clearly I've heard it before, but I didn't really realize it. Matt.
Yeah.
Talk about it for a minute.
Well, I mean, morbidly, it's one of those songs that, you know, when you're kind of feeling down, it's a good, hopeful song to listen to.
Kind of a pick-me-up.
Yeah. And also, I was going through my, like, I have to learn every song I hear on guitar phase, and this is one of my I picked up a guitar and learned fairly easily, and yeah, it's fun to play. So
yeah,
it's just a fantastic song.
It's a really good song. It really
just
is
a great band.
So I've spent the last week listening to acoustic covers and acoustic songs because of the stuff you guys sent, and I've listened to this one a couple of times. It's a really good song. So very, very pleased with it. It's this next song you sent over, which is a band that I think is a great band that maybe doesn't always get the attention that they deserve. Like, I don't think enough people really listen to them or know who they are. But this song, to me, is definitely – it starts off acoustic, very acoustic at the beginning. It does not keep with the acoustic theme, but it's a cool song. So here you go. Here's Matt's second choice.
I've been walking around trying to figure out. I love you one, a two, a three, shoo-bee-doo. I love you four.
So there could be some argument that even all that bit is acoustic, but we definitely get some synth flares here in a few minutes. Yeah. This is I Love You Five by Never Shout Never. I decided that it was such a good song, I didn't really give a shit. We'll talk about it anyway.
Have fun getting it unstuck from your head.
it's really fun. It reminds me of, oh, God, what was that song? What was that, the name of that band they did that song? Yeah, I can't think of it right now. It'll pop in there later, and I'll talk about it. But so from their 2010 album, What Is Love? like I said, part of it is definitely the beginning of the song. The whole beginning up until that point that you just heard is acoustic. It's like some acoustic guitar and stuff back there. But it does amp up after that. Great song, though. Not a charting song, which is okay. Sometimes, like I said, it's good to actually talk about stuff that isn't, so we can kind of let folks know about stuff maybe they didn't know about. The album charted, though. The album hit 58 in Canada and 24 on the Billboard 200. I'll have a ton of information about the song itself, as far as like anything like why they wrote it or what it was inspired by, or even, I mean, the song is clearly just kind of a silly love song, right? There's not a whole lot of depth in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Matt, do you want to talk about it for a minute, though?
Yeah. This is like, you know how every couple has a song? This is Connie and I's song.
Oh, that's cool. Aww.
Yeah. Anytime we're, you know, and this just as mushy as it possibly can be.
Mushy.
Instead of saying I love you, we usually just put, you know, the number 5 in a text or whatever. And we just know that it's, you know, I love you 5 is just kind of how we tell each other that we love each other. And we'll have like little gifts that we leave each other around the house every once in a while that just has a number 5 on it.
Aww.
I know. It's super
incredibly
sweet.
Efficient.
This is so cute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a few years ago,
hold on. Did you just say that's incredibly efficient?
Yeah, yeah. No, I said incredibly efficient.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Just 5.
I thought you said inefficient.
No.
No, you got to emphasize the E on that one.
Yeah.
Efficient.
Efficient, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's very logical, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Think about it. Yes. I take most of my dating cues from Data from Star Trek.
There you go.
Because that's why Spock everyone's occasionally. Listening. We're
well,
efficient.
Data got all the chicks.
Yeah.
Data got all. He did. He got Tasha Yar.
Computer viruses that was going through that man's, you know, body.
Well, welcome to the Efficient Podcast.
Robot STDs.
He got Tasha Yar. By the way, Feist. Feist is the band I was trying to think of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, tell me that you love me more. Oh, yeah. Teenage hope. So, yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, it came back. But, yeah, a few years ago, I even had my sister make a tumbler, like a drink tumbler.
Yeah.
That just had a really cool number 5 on it, and she, like, resined it up and gave it to Connie for
Was it Johnny like, 5?
Christmas. No, but
you should put Johnny 5,
just,
our
you
love.
Just gave me an idea.
Our love is alive.
Or you should use Mambo number 5.
Mambo number. Just everything with the number 5 in it, just start putting it.
Oh, I just got a great idea.
Combo
for a new
number
playlist.
5.
Combo number 5. The cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke. That is very cool, Matt. I actually really like your reasoning. We've had a lot of reasoning and a lot of non-reasoning behind the choice of songs.
Which is why I put, when I sent you the text, I was like, unless Connie puts it on her list, then
she did not, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say to you next, Matt, is both a reprimand and a kudos. You uplifted me, then you just bitch slapped me right the fuck down into depression with your next choice. But it is a really good song.
Yeah, right.
Hard to listen to, not because it's bad, because this song tells a story.
It'll make you feel. Yeah.
Whew, this is Matt's final choice, and this is the band that I did not know. I do not know this band. We'll let you talk about it for here in a minute, but didn't know them at all. I've listened to the song about 3 times in the last week, and here you go.
So live for the moment and take this advice. Live by every word. Love is just a hoax, so forget anything that you have heard. And live for the moment now.
So this is The Tide by The Spill Canvas. This is, you don't get much more acoustic than this version. Now, they do have another version that they released later that is not a full acoustic, which I stumbled across. It's also kind of long for an acoustic song. This song is over 5 minutes long. So it's for an acoustic, it's very long, but there's a reason for it. This is 2004 off their album Sunsets and Car Crashes. It's gut-wrenching. This song is gut-wrenching at times. It tells the struggle. It tells of struggle, jealousy, abandonment, all through stories of 3 different siblings, I guess they are. They're 3 kids that have kind of lived this crappy life. And so they all have different versions of what they think love is. And that's why I said some of it's abandonment, some of it's jealousy, because their mom is kind of fucked up, apparently. And when the song talks about the tide, it's the tide that washes in and destroys your life, so to speak. It's very weird. And I don't know if they kill themselves or if they just die or if it's just a metaphor.
It's kind of ambiguous.
It could be a metaphor that they're, I don't know.
So a real toe tapper.
Okay. Yeah. But it's a really great, like, I don't know. The lyrics are very meaningful if you listen to it. There's a voice, a guitar, occasionally a violin in the background. That's all you get. They have another song out called Lullaby, which is kind of similar, which could have been used too if you would have wanted to.
There's a lot of songs on that album that could be it. Most of it is acoustic.
Lullaby does have kind of a weird organ piano sounding thing in the background.
Yeah,
in parts of it. So, you know,
they've since gone more electric. They kind of had their Bob Dylan phase. But as weird as that sounds, it's very true. Like, most of their stuff is more, you know, electric and rock rather than kind of folky acoustic stuff.
Here's what I can tell you, and this is about all the information I got. So after that, Matt, it's up to you. This band is from South Dakota. There you go. okay. I mean, I can find all kinds of stuff discussing the albums and stuff, but not a whole lot of information about that specific song. I tried. Like, I want to know what influenced them to write it, but sometimes with bands that aren't as big, it's hard to find the information, and I tried. Yeah. So, Matt, do you want to talk a little bit about why you picked it?
I came across this band a couple of years before Connie and I met, and just, like, really, really got into them, and was in my, you know, going through breakup stage, and, you know, listening to really sad music.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, and this was one of them, and it is just stuck, and I've followed the band ever since, and they're fucking great. But yeah, from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, like you said, and I actually know somebody, as Jay and I were talking off air, who used to be in a band with the singer from this band. The singer's name is Nick Thomas, and our mutual friend Terry Taylor from 1313 Mockingbird Lane, the toy store, was in a band called Nodes of Ranveer, which sounds absolutely nothing like this.
Totally different band.
Completely different. They are a full-on, like, hardcore metal band, and he left that band and started this side project called The Spill Canvas, and he's been doing that ever since.
Well, you guys should definitely go check them out, The Spill Canvas. They are on Spotify.
They're on Punk Goes Acoustic doing one of their songs called Staple Gun, which is another great song, too.
But, I mean, if you look them up, you're not going to have a hard time finding them, is what I'm telling you. They're on YouTube, Spotify. So it's not like they're so obscure you'll never find them. They're definitely out there, and everybody should check them out. Because I did. I went through and listened to some of their other stuff after you sent it over, and I was like, these guys are really good. So we got introduced to something new. I do want to say before we move on to KC's list that Matt had a couple honorable mentions that I'm going to bring up real quick just because. The first one is Wagon Wheel, Old Crow Medicine Show. And I know a lot of people like that version better. And they're a really cool band, so, you know, giving them a little love is fine. The other one is one that I actually considered, Matt, which is Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, Jeff Buckley. It's a great song. Mm-hmm. I actually really love the Rufus Wainwright version as well.
I literally could not decide which version.
Well, Rufus's isn't really acoustic, but Leonard Cohen and Jeff Buckley's. Hallelujah is a great song. It's one of those that I think people just really love to cover. So, so those were kind of on Matt's honorable mention. These were songs he highly considered and was like, I could see the struggle there because I actually did think about Hallelujah myself. So,
is the Rufus Wainwright one the one that's in Shrek?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I think there's
back to Shrek.
Here's the other thing, man. There's like multiple. Even then, I think Rufus Wainwright has a couple of different versions of it. You know, I think even though people did it, they did it more than once. Like, they would do live covers and all kinds of stuff. So it's a really popular song. So we're going to move into KC's list next.
Prince did some acoustic songs.
I can't Prince did. I'm sure he did. Yeah. First of all, I can't fault anybody's list this week. We got some really good stuff. Kevin's is the most controversial, not because of what he picked, just because of one of his songs. But this isn't it. This is Kevin's first choice.
No one seems like you anymore. Black hole sun. Won't you come wash away the rain?
What
think I've heard this song.
Really?
Neither did I until this assignment.
Well, this is Black Hole Sun, Chris Cornell. Yeah. It's odd, guys, because they actually did this song live acoustically a bunch of times. it's not very uncommon. Here's the thing. This is already an eerie song, but the acoustic version, while beautiful, is really creepy, and I love
it. I mean, it could fit on like an Edgar Allan Poe like movie, or you know.
Yeah, I mean, the song was already a little creepy, but then you got him doing the acoustic like darker cover, and you're like, "Ooh." The song itself, the original, is from the '94 album Super Unknown, written by Cornell. It was number 6 in Australia, 5 in Canada, 12 in the UK, 2 on the U.S. Billboard Alternative, and 1 on the mainstream chart. As to what the song is about, who knows? Here's what Chris Cornell actually had to say about it. It's just sort of a surreal dreamscape, a weird play with the title kind of song. He also said, lyrically, it's probably the closest to me just playing with words for words' sake of anything I've ever written. I guess it worked for a lot of people who heard it, but I have no idea how you'd begin to take that one literally. It's funny because hits are usually sort of congruent, sort of identifiable lyric idea, and that song pretty much had none. The chorus lyric is kind of beautiful and easy to remember. Other than that, I sure didn't have an understanding of it after I wrote it. It was just sucked in by the music, and I was painting a picture with the lyrics. There was no real idea to get across. I believe the version I played was from an Unplugged, but I don't really recall. When I went through to pull a clip, there were a lot. I mean, it's not very uncommon. And you see, what's funny is when you look up like famous acoustic covers, this one's on a lot of people's list. It's pretty well known. Obviously, you said you did not know that it existed, but no, why did you? What made you decide to put it on your list?
Well, when I was scanning through the old YouTube looking for acoustic songs, I, you know, ran into this song, and I was like, when I first heard it, I was like, where has this song been all my life? Why don't I put it on my acoustic list? It's a lot better. Well, I think it's a lot better than the regular version that, you know, saw the creepy video. It doesn't give me nightmares as much, but it still gives me a good share of nightmares.
It does get a little creepy.
It does get, right? The video's way creepy, man. Oof. It's great, though. I love that video so much. It's funny because you say you like it a little bit better. So this and one of the songs that's going to end up on my list, which we will talk about here in a few minutes, I don't. I love them. It's so weird. They're almost like, even though they're acoustic covers of the original, they're almost like their own song, so I like them as, like, I could listen to it back to back and be okay with that. I like them as much, like, if that makes sense. So while this is Black Hole Sun, it's almost like it's its own thing, too. It's weird, I know, but that's, I don't know, just how I feel. This is about feelings, because we're acoustic this week, and Stu's
make you feel things.
Casey's last song and Stu's first song are really going to talk about feelings. You'll see in a minute.
Oh, God.
Here is your next pick, Casey. And again, this one is kind of known to be somewhat famous, kind of beloved by a lot of people. This is Casey's next pick. So, obviously, this is Wonderwall by Oasis. It's funny because he does an acoustic live version of this a lot. You can find a bunch of different versions of it out there. Mm. If you listen to him recently, though, it doesn't sound like the same. This is, Noel Gallagher wrote this, and it doesn't sound – his voice doesn't sound the same anymore. It's weird. He sounds like drastically different. 1995, the original was from What's the Story, Morning Glory, written by Noel Gallagher. Originally, he told NME, back in 1996, that Wonderwall, this is great. So originally he told them that this was written for Meg Matthews, his then girlfriend and later wife. They divorced in 2001, and he changed his story and said, no, it's not about her. He said, the meaning of the song was taken away from me by the media who jumped on it. And how do you tell your missus it's not about her once she's read that it is? He says the song is about an imaginary friend who's going to come and save you from yourself. The song's title was inspired by George Harrison's solo album Wonderwall Music. And I'm sure we all know that this song did really, really well. One in Australia, one in Canada, two in the UK, eight on the US Billboard Hot 100, number one on the Billboard Alternative Airplay chart. Probably, arguably, Oasis's biggest song. Like, yeah. I'm sure it's probably their biggest chart topper of anything they did. What made you choose this one, Casey?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Wonderwall, but again, sort of like the Chris Cornell Black Hole Sun acoustic. I like this acoustic a little bit better than the, you know, actual Wonderwall song. It's just, I don't know. I like a good guitar, man, and this really hits the spot.
You like a good guitar, man? So you're like, yeah.
What about a guitar woman?
Yeah, like Neely.
I like a guitar woman, you know? I mean,
Neely Broche.
What's that?
I said Neely Broche.
Neely Broche. He's very confused by what we're
just
saying.
Just say your name.
A little bit.
Yeah, all right. Broche. We're going to go into Casey's third pick, and I am Piggy, so it's okay, but we're going to get into this one here in a second. I'll just play it. Here you go.
I'm back in the motherfucking county jail. 6 months on my chest, now it's time to bail. I gets released on a hot sunny day. My nigga DOC and my homie Dr. Dre scooped in a coupe, Snoop, we got the news.
So the first thing we're going to go over is obviously not acoustic. hear that synthesizer in there? I get where you were going with it, though. Yeah. This has been
Kevin. He's being very picky right now. Let's just admit that. Very picky.
Yeah, very
can't
picky.
Throw a synthesizer in and have still be an acoustic song.
How is it acoustic if you have a synthesizer in it? That's electric.
They were using synthesizers.
I'm just asking.
Thomas Edison's day. Shut up.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because you said I'm being picky. What makes it acoustic then?
The acoustic instruments that do exist in the song.
Yeah, but if you put electric in it, it's no longer an acoustic version of a song.
In a bunch of songs, and it's not considered acoustic.
Wouldn't that be the case, though? Like, seriously, this is the discussions we like to have. So, obviously, all of you listeners can let us know your thoughts, too.
What do you think, listeners?
But wouldn't, when you add electric of any kind, wouldn't it stop being an acoustic song? I mean, there's acoustic parts in the song.
I don't know. I mean, I could barely hear the synthesizer, but you're right, Jay. It is there, so technically, it wouldn't count.
You know, this is up for a real discussion here. This is kind of a cool discussion, like what dictates acoustic to different people. I guess for me, I only think of like unplugged things that nothing plugged in. No, obviously the microphone's going to be plugged in, but aside from the microphones, which amplify the sound. Like if you put an electric guitar or a synthesizer in instantly, to me, it's just no longer. But that's, this is my thoughts. I still get where you were going with it, just like I get where you were going with yours, Matt. I mean, the beginning of I Love You 5 is acoustic. It's strictly, it's like guitar and nothing else. And there's a chunk of the song that is that way. But that's okay. This is Bitches Ain't Shit, and this is the Ben Folds 5 version of it. So this song's bringing all kinds of controversy right from the
get. Yeah, a couple reasons.
Yeah, a few.
Justifiable, probably. Yeah.
So let me talk about it here for a second. Bitches Ain't Shit, featuring, this is Dr. Dre originally, featuring Snoop Dogg. We're just going to go with Daz and Corrupt. We're not going to call it Daz or Daz anything besides what we're just going to go with that. And Jewel features Jewel too. Jewel is featured in the original. Okay. 1992.
Wait, she's featured in the original?
I guess. When I looked it up, that's what it said, featuring Jewel.
Okay.
Weird.
I'm looking this up right now. I am so curious.
I mean, I could be. That's what it said. I don't know.
I don't believe you.
I don't know, but that's what it said. 1992 from the Chronic album, which makes it even more weird because was Jewel around in 1992?
I don't think so.
It's so bizarre.
She might have been just a session player at the time.
So I want to ask you guys, the original song, Bitches Ain't Shit, do any of you know what the song is about?
Bitches.
Anyone else want to take a stab at that? It's not about women.
Oh.
It's about Eazy-E.
Oh, oh,
he's calling Eazy-E a bitch. This is shit. After Dre left Ruthless and signed with Death Row, and then Eazy sued them. Well, he sued. I don't know. Did he sue Dre directly or did he go after Suge? I don't really know. But he basically said that Suge coerced them to leave the label. And, you know, Dre was already saying, like, we weren't being paid what we deserved. So, yeah, this is a diss track. So Ben Folds 5 is working on an album and they're wanting to do some rap covers, right? And he chose this song because to him, it has certain poetic flow, right? He's like, I like the flow. It's very poetic. So he actually dropped all the non-Dre and Snoop Dogg parts because they didn't really fit to what he wanted to do, but he kept the original lyrics, which, as you heard, has the N-word in it.
Yeah. Now,
here's the thing. He got a lot of criticism for the song, but not so much that. Mostly it's just the crude and lewd lyrics that he was singing and did live sometimes, and people didn't necessarily like that. But not as much over dropping the N-word as one might think. There has been some praise for him doing it from artists you might not expect because he kept it what it was. Kevin, as the only black gentleman on the show, I want to, I mean, you picked it, so I want to hear your thoughts on it and what your thoughts are on it overall about him keeping the original lyrics and everything.
Well, normally, like, hearing a bunch of white people say the N-word would naturally piss me off, but the cover, I mean, this is just smooth as hell. I mean, I'll give it a pass. I mean, begrudgingly, but it's damn good.
Listen, he uses a hard egg. It is the lyric is the
it's
A
the
version.
It's the A. So that makes me feel good.
I was just curious because this is,
it's
you
like
know,
racism light.
So I don't know. I didn't know a lot about this. And this was actually not a cover I'd ever heard.
It's diet racism.
Racism. Diet racism. It's racism. Diet.
Zero.
Racism zero.
Racism zero.
But I had never heard this. So when I pulled
you never heard it?
Oh. No. And so I'm sitting there listening to it. And I'm like, whoa, what did he just say? Because I know of other kind of punk covers or whatever of rap songs where they clearly leave the word out. You know,
well, you know,
and he didn't.
Another,
so it's like, huh.
Or in the case of Punk Goes Crunk, that entire album, it's a little problematic, but they find their way around it.
Yeah.
One of them, they change the N-word to Jedis and make the entire song about
that's pretty
Star
that's
Wars.
That's pretty awesome, yeah. Actually.
they did Put Your Hood Up as song
that's pretty
Star
great.
Wars.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I will also say this. This song came out, like, I believe in the early 2000s. During the late 90s, early 2000s, there was like this weird era where white people felt that they can say the N-word, but if they do it in a certain way that was deemed unoffensive, they can get away with it. And an example would be, let's see.
Dynamite Hack?
Well, let's see.
Boys in the Hood?
Well, where, let's see, damn it. Ozzy Osbourne was singing with Busta Rhymes and doing his cover of, let's see, This Means War. Well, he used the N-word in that. It still had a great flow, but
it just stopped right in the middle.
Yeah.
You heard the record scratch.
Like, Busta Rhymes turns and looks at him and goes, Ozzy. Come on.
You know who else thought they could say it? Axl Rose thought he could just drop whatever he wanted. He just went all willy-nilly with it.
He didn't get clearance from
it. And he wasn't on stage with Busta Rhymes or anybody else. He's like, I'm just going to write it because it's true. Nope.
It's like not everything you say is correct.
It is an interesting choice, Kev. And I will tell you
this: white people just don't say the N-word.
Yeah, you're safer. You're safer. Just don't.
I mean, just don't. In any kind of context.
So I brought something up with my wife about this. This is to me really bizarre because I'm like, I understand if you're writing a book or a movie and you write a character in it that is like a scumbag or a piece of shit that drops the word because that's who. You're not supposed to like them. You know, they're supposed to be an asshole or whatever, and that's how they might be in real life. Like, if you're writing about neo-Nazis, they're not going to be nice, right? But it's so much different to me when it's like, Ben Folds 5 deciding he's going to drop it in a song. Like, ooh, oh, yeah, I was shocked. Let me put it that way. I didn't know this song.
Let's just say the N-word is a very complex word.
It is a very complex word.
Yeah. To your point, Jay, I mean, the movie, the Quentin Tarantino movie, Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Lot of the use of the N-word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though, I mean, it took place during the, like a little bit before the Civil War, I believe, and you would kind of expect it, even for a movie that lasted about, like, maybe 2.5 hours or something like that, they still went above and beyond to include the N-word in it. And you kind of wonder, like, is this Quentin Tarantino's dream to use the N-word or, in his movies? Or
here's a good
is it... go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead and finish your thought first.
Well, is it, you know, just, you know, being accurate?
Then
as
there's
somebody who kind of looks into this history, I kind of question it.
So then there's also how much of it
every
was...
Every other song that he does.
Then there's how much of it was scripted. And then how much, like, I mean, you got guys like Samuel L. Jackson in that movie and stuff. So, like, who, I know what you mean. A lot of white people are firing it off. Mm-hmm. But I will say about that movie, about Django, I think it probably is overused in it. I've heard this brought up a lot. But I think a lot of it you're supposed to take from the movie is there's all these people disrespecting and not, and thinking that they're very, they don't, they're taking him for granted. They think he isn't anything, so it's almost like these people are pure trash and I'm about to show you they're trash. So but it is a Quentin Tarantino thing that has come up before, so.
And a lot of people don't mess with, you know, Quentin Tarantino movies because of that.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's one of the greatest directors of all time, but that is a major flaw that he has.
Yeah, I can see where that's coming from. It was just really shocking to me because I'm not, when you sent this song over and I like hit play and I'm not used to hearing.
It's a little jarring.
Yeah, well, it was very jarring to me. And it's in there. And listen, it's not in there just like, it's in there a few times. It's not like once. It's a Dre song. Of course it's in there.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I'm used to, I've heard a lot of covers. I'm just not used to that.
Ben Folds 5, you know, just singing the N-word.
Yeah.
It honestly makes me question why he decided to do it.
Don't, like, I could not find anything. I could not find if anybody, like, if he talked to them first and Dre's like, do it. Like, I couldn't find any.
Do it.
I couldn't find any reaction from Dre directly.
Dre said, do it. But he left off the I dare you part.
I looked for a reaction from Dre because I was curious. Now, I have seen reaction from a few, like, hip-hop and R&B R&B artists that are happy with it, which is I think it's just a personal thing when it comes to that word. I think
it really is.
It really is. I
mean, yeah. It's very complicated.
It is a very complicated word. Yeah, it is. Let's move on to the first one off Stewie D's list. It's like I said, we kind of went from like real kind of sad or mellow acoustic into a little more hyper stuff. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about this song. Here's the thing about this song. It is very popular, very famous. Kevin tried to put it on his list, but unfortunately Stewie had it first. But it's not like you can find a good
version
of it.
I was fucking pissed.
Because everybody was, Kevin kept sending me songs and all of us had it. That's where Bitches Ain't Shit came from, by the way.
Yeah.
She's like, fine, how about this? Who's got this? And I was like, nobody. Yeah, you're good.
I want to hear you talk about this one.
But this is Stewie's first pick. Best I can do, guys.
Pretty good one.
So it's rough though. I looked for like there's okay. So this is LL Cool J. Mama Said Knock You Out. This is extremely famous. Unplugged right here. We talked about the song, the actual song, back in our 90s rap episode a few weeks back. The original was 1990 off the 1990 album of the same name. It was sort of a comeback for LL, even though we're not supposed to call it that. And his grandmother inspired the name when she told him to knock out the people saying he was a has-been.
He's pretty explicitly telling you not to call it a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, it's in there.
It's been there for years.
As far as the acoustic version of it goes, it was on season 2 of Unplugged, or as they have dubbed it, Yo Unplugged Rap. This was 1991. LL was on there with De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, MC Light. But it is almost unanimously agreed that LL stole the show on that particular one.
Yep, agreed. And it's the reason why I use clear deodorant. But
there you go.
Feed stick.
He performed two songs, Jingle Baby, followed by Mama Said Knock You Out. And the cool thing was they didn't use turntables. They had a live band called Pop's Cool Love. So all of it's live right there on the stage. What's weird, though, is and if it's got to exist, right? But maybe it doesn't. Most unplugged stuff is one band, and this wasn't. So I don't know that they released an actual album of it, which is why that version sounds kind of cruddy. You can go watch all the live stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's an actual album. Anyway, this has become kind of one of those really just famous moments in unplugged history. Everybody talks about it. Stewie D, why don't you talk about it?
I like the video. Stu.
You like the video? You like the live video? It is pretty cool. It's a little weird because he first comes on and he's got a shirt on. Everybody has shirts on. And then he basically tells everybody to take their shirts off. And they do.
And then you see his armpits.
Yeah, you see a lot of his armpits. I was looking at his pecs. They're impeccable.
It was more the top hat that did it for me.
Yeah. Well, it's not a top hat. It's a
weird hat.
It's like a Kango beach hat. So I don't know what you would call that.
Yeah. It kind of looked like a slash hat, but that it was made out of like soft material.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It looked like a hat that Blossom would wear on her show.
It's a Blossom hat.
I mean, I got no background in it. I like the video or like the Unplugged series.
Yeah, Unplugged series is fantastic. I actually found somebody created a Spotify playlist that's just all like the best Unplugged, and I just was downing it this week at work. It was so good.
I'm gonna need you to send me that.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, what makes it really cool though is that like Unplugged rap was drastic. There's no turntables. Like everything you just heard were guys like they'd taken the song and now they're playing it acoustically on drums, on piano. If you watch that video, there's a dude jamming on the piano and they like focus on him a couple times. He's just going nuts on this big grand piano.
Doing stuff with just their mouse making sounds.
Yeah, it is actually really cool to watch. And it kind of set him off for a while and that like he was performing this live and like a number of things after this because of it. Like everybody was like, oh my God, did you see LL performing it live? And like I said, it's kind of unanimously agreed upon he stole the show that day. And in fact, a couple of people were like, it was kind of a letdown that De La Soul followed him after that because it wasn't quite it didn't have the same dynamic.
Like, how do we follow that?
Yeah, it would be rough because it's become pretty infamous. So good pick. Okay, so Matt, you just found something, so let's go ahead and clarify that, what you just found.
Yeah, so the original version of Bitches Ain't Shit was not Canadian poetry songstress Jewel. It was a R&B singer named Jewel. It's spelled with two L's, not unlike LL Cool J.
You could see, though, how I would have been shocked.
When you Google LL Cool J Unplugged, the suggested things come up with videos, images, and deodorant. I'm not kidding.
That's brilliant.
I will send you a screenshot right now.
The man should have been smart and released his own line of LL Cool Feel or something. Like Cool Gel. LL Cool Gel.
Oh my God.
Ladies love my cool deodorant.
Oh God. I want to bring something up too, Matt, because we were just discussing. I kind of pulled this up. We took a momentary break there. Because we were discussing while you were gone, like I was like, I get Matt's point about acoustic, and like I'm glad we had the discussion. So I just kind of pulled up what is considered acoustic, and here's what I found very briefly. Acoustic music is music that solely or primarily uses instruments that produce sound through acoustic means as opposed to electric or electronic means. So that's how I took it too. But I said, like I told Kev, I get the argument that can be made, especially on I Love You 5, because it does clearly start off as an acoustic song. So, could you call it an acoustic song because a part of the song is acoustic? I don't know. Who makes the rules, man? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We make the rules.
And yeah, dude, we're music snobs. That's what we do. Yeah. We make the rules. The mixtape makes the rules.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the stew.
No,
speaking of the stew, let's go into his next song, which is, again, very famous. There are a handful of songs on this list today that kind of needed to be mentioned, which is why I brought up the Nirvana thing right from the get-go, that none of us put any Nirvana Unplugged on here. We'll get into that towards the end of this, because I actually want to ask.
Is Nirvana the band that everyone avoids?
They do get avoided on this show a lot because we're...
Yeah, and we also did an episode, like one of our earliest episodes.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But we don't avoid them for lack of wanting to talk about them. We all think that everybody else is going to bring them up, so we don't. And then they just inevitably don't get brought up because we're dicks. This is Stewie's next pick right here.
Everywhere sign.
Signs. I'm glad I played it in there because that is one of the few things they changed in the song. So this is Signs, Tesla, 1990 from the album Five Man Acoustical Jam. I don't know if you know this. You may not. I'm sure everybody knows the original song from 1970. You've heard it, right? Did you know that? Do you know the name of the band?
No. Anyone? I've heard it, anyone? But not the band.
No. So the band has been a lot. No, this band, they've been attributed to a lot of different bands over the years. So it's not uncommon that you would think it was somebody like Nazareth and things like that. You probably don't know who the band is. Everybody knows the song, but the band was called the Five Man Electrical Band, which is why they did the Five Man Acoustical Jam.
Oh, shit.
So nobody really knew the band except for the song. So it was kind of a hit for them, and that was sort of it.
And it makes sense for them being Tesla to do this cover.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. And Tesla does an acoustic, which is they did a whole live acoustic album, which
was
really cool.
The whole album.
Shitty electric cars.
Have you ever had one?
No, I have not. But I've heard stories about how bad the car is. But go ahead.
So they changed the lyrics slightly when they dropped their acoustic version. One of the biggest things they say is fucking up instead of, it did well, 70 in the UK, 72 in Canada, 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. It became one of the band's best-known songs and has been appreciated over the years as adding a new spin to the original. It's weird. I'm going to make a statement here, and you guys can tell me if you agree or disagree, and that's fine. Tesla is one of those – there are these odd sort of bands to me where everybody knows the band, but only a few people can tell me songs they sing.
I
know a bunch of you.
I know quite a bit.
I probably wouldn't tell you the name right off the hand or handle.
I know probably three or four famous Tesla songs, and I can tell them to you. But I bet most people can't.
Right.
Most people remember them doing Signs, though, in 1990.
Yeah. That was like the big one. Yeah.
Yeah. Silent Lucidity.
Mm. Yeah, that's Queensryche.
That's Queensryche. Yeah, that's not Tesla.
No.
No, so you can't tell us other songs that Tesla does.
They did
the Urban Cowboy.
They did. You're right. I can't. Stu, why did you?
Hang on. I'm looking this up because this is going to bug me now.
Tesla songs
that we might know.
I think one of them is Modern Day Cowboy or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know that one.
Rhinestone Cowboy was not them. They did a song called The Way It Is. Oh, they did Love Song.
Love Song, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, because I'm like, no, that was the other love song.
Go to Spotify.
It's the other love song.
The other love song.
Known songs.
Stewie, what made you pick Signs by Tesla?
Because the video was pretty cool.
Oh, my God. Every time we ask Stu,
video was cool.
Well, I mean, I knew it from MTV era, of course, but... It was pretty good jam, like the acoustic version.
It had a nice beat you could dance to.
Yeah.
you could dance to Signs.
It was in this one movie.
We're covering all the bases of where we all get our songs from.
Yeah. I like Tesla a lot, so when I heard this as part of it, it kind of resonated. It sounded good.
A lot of people think that... Like, it's not uncommon to hear people think that this version is better than the original version. I think they're pretty much on par with one another. Like, I don't... Like, if you would have told me this was just five-man electrical band doing a live version, I'd have believed you. But then it's like, no, this is Tesla. They did a whole live album. I'm like, oh, I believe that, too. Yeah. And then they did Silent Lucidity. So...
By Queens, that was Queens,
why did I had that damn Queensryche album? Why did I think that was Tesla?
I don't know.
I don't either. Listen, guys, I'm getting older, and I'm
sure you didn't have Tesla's album "Bust a Nut" from 1994.
I did not. No,
yeah, that's the thing they did.
I might be going through a little senility here these days.
That
man.
Was graphic.
Silence. Senility.
Silence. Well, you heard me earlier trying to remember the damn name of that Feist song, and in my head I just got pissed off at myself. That's why I'm like, just forget it.
Well, to be honest, I think there was really only one Feist song.
There really well that anybody probably knows, but I couldn't even think of the name of the song or the band, even though I start. This is a thing that happens for real, guys, where I'll be in the middle of a sentence, and this is true. I will like be going to talk about a person's name. Let's say I was talking to you about Robert Palmer now. And I'm like, mm-hmm. So anyway, that guy that sang, his name was, God, I know there's an R.
Yeah.
Like, Arnold Palmer?
Yeah.
I know there's an R, but I can't tell you the rest. I forgot it mid-sentence, and it happens all
half
the time.
Half iced tea, half lemonade guy?
Okay. Robert
Palmer. I think it has to do with a lot of the strokes you have.
Shut up, Stu. All right, let's go into Stewie's third and final pick on his list this week.
I'm a cowboy.
We got intense there.
Ladies, I'm on it.
I have so much to say. You guys are, this is Dead or Alive, Bon Jovi. Original version of the song was from the 86 album, Slippery When Wet. That one went 13 in Australia, 17 in Canada, 13 in UK, 7 on the Billboard Hot 100. So in 1987, John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora recorded an acoustic version of the song. That version is available in a few places. This is going to be interesting for a second, guys. The Japanese CD Maxi release had it on it, and there was a CD video release. I'm looking at Stu's face. I'm waiting. Does anybody remember CD video?
I feel like yes.
I think it has something to do with like when you put it in the computer. And
okay,
it takes you to.
If you don't know, CD video.
I heard of Sugar Ray the first time.
Is a format. Sorry, that was funny. CD video is a format of optical media disc that was introduced in 1987 that combines the technologies of standard compact discs and laser discs. CDV discs are the same size as like a regular CD and contain up to 20 minutes worth of CD audio that can be played on any CD player. My guess is at this point in life, it's also available on DVD somewhere.
Right.
Streaming, probably. I know it's streaming. You can watch it streaming. I want to add on a little funny note here, Matt. I have a feeling you're going to love this.
Okay.
Les Claypool of Primus chose this song for the AV Club's column Hate Song, where musicians choose songs they dislike. Les Claypool called the song a wretched soundscape and said Bon Jovi was actually a big influence on Primus back in the day. Basically, the influence was that we wanted to make music that was the polar opposite of Bon Jovi. Jeff Tweedy of Wilco commented and said, this song sucks and you should not like it.
Damn. Okay.
Now, first of all, I love you, Les Claypool, so much.
Yeah.
But I also love the song Wanted Dead or Alive. However, it's pure schlock, and I get it. I do. But it's supposed to be schlocky.
While we're on the topic of Primus a little bit, I came across them doing a cover of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
That's great.
It's off of an album called Duo de Twang. It's Les Claypool and a guy playing guitar doing, you know, Primus songs and a couple of covers. It's pretty interesting.
I pulled up the video the other night of Winona's Big Brown Beaver for my daughter. She was like, what is happening? I was like, yeah, it's so good.
Designed by the same people that we talked about earlier off air.
Oh, the Crofts? Really? That makes total sense. Don't do that to me because it made total sense.
They seem very puppet-like.
They are very puppet-like.
I'm going to look that up now, actually.
So here's the thing. It is schlock. A lot of Bon Jovi stuff is 80s schlock. I think it's kind of supposed to be. I don't know. But I get it. I however, love this song. Here's the other thing, though. John Bon Jovi's voice is not holding up well. If you hear him now, there's a reason why he switched to country. There's a reason why he switched to country music, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, this is borderline country.
I mean, it's southern, a little southern rocky with some rock mixed in.
I mean, I didn't realize how much country sound he did have.
Yeah, well, that can be made. That argument can definitely be made in a couple of people, I would say. But what made you choose this version of Dead or Alive, Stu?
Well, I mean, it definitely was one of the first acoustic versions of a good song that I liked in the past. So, I mean, when I think of acoustic, I think of that version. Because it actually, in the video, in the song originally itself, it's acoustic first anyway. And then it kind of...
Yeah, the stuff kind of kicks in.
So, in a way, it's already acoustic-esque, but... The whole performance turned out to be
Was only a year later that the two of them went in and did the acoustic version of it. So it's you know, what's funny though is I think it was one of those things where you probably saw it on MTV, but the acoustic version wasn't readily available back then. Like you couldn't go get it anywhere.
No, I think they did. I think they did it on the VMAs or something like that when they first.
Yeah, there are multiple versions of them performing it live. So that's probably very likely that was on the VMAs or something. All right, we're going to go into my list, and I mentioned on Kev's list when we were kind of talking about Black Hole Sun, and I said there are certain songs that an acoustic version was then done, and to me it's almost its own separate thing, and I like it. I could literally listen to it back-to-back with the original and be fine with it, which is what happens with the first song on my list, and here you go. I'm a cowboy. That is not on my list. That is... The last song on Stewie's list.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
And now we're going to move on to the first song on Monday. Just so happens, guys.
I just mean, we're paying attention.
Every song I should have just played.
I know. While you fumble around to find that.
What's right here? I didn't fumble.
The music video for Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver was not made by the Crofts. However, a lot of people thought that they were using the Puttermans costumes from the Duracell advertising.
That seems real. Yeah. I remember those commercials too. If you guys don't remember that, you should go YouTube the Puttermans, the Duracell commercials, and then go, if you don't know Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver, you need to go watch that video next because you'll totally get it, because that just makes it. It's a great song anyway.
Which, does anybody by any chance remember the name of the band? In the Primus video.
And I just watched it, but no, I don't.
Yeah, Buck Naked and the Bare Bottom Bowls.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Such a great band name.
Now we're going to go into the first song. I should have just put One of Dead or Alive for everybody's. Just click it every time. Here is my first song.
Hello, good choice. Good choice, but you're going to piss Connie off.
Kind of curious why. Did you say she hates the acoustic?
She hates Dave Grohl.
What?
What? Really?
When he screams, like she hates his.
My sister hates.
Voice.
I love you, Connie, but damn.
Yeah. My sister doesn't like you for that reason.
Guys,
it's a hot
stop it.
Topic around
you,
here.
I love all you guys, and you're making me not want to talk to your families.
That made me not want to talk to my family.
This is Foo Fighters Everlong, 1997, The Color and the Shape originally was the album. This is my favorite Foo Fighters song, and that is saying something, really. It really is. I know Stewie's, too, which is Monkey Wrench.
Yes.
This is number 45 in Australia, number 3 in Canada, 18 in the UK, 3 on the Billboard Alternative. Inspired by Dave Grohl's ongoing romance with Louise Post of the band Veruca Salt, in case you didn't know. It's also, he kind of wrote it. He was going through his divorce. That inspired part of the song, too. Anyway, he said of the song, that song's about a girl that I'd fallen in love with, and it was basically about being connected to someone so much that not only do you love them physically and spiritually, but when you sing along with them, you harmonize perfectly. He wrote the song, according to him, in 45 minutes while sleeping in a sleeping bag at a friend's house. Like I said, going through divorce situation. So he's crashing at his friend's house in a sleeping bag. As far as acoustic versions, well, he's done it a few times, so there's no specific one. There's no, like, this is the one I picked or whatever. But if you punch it in Spotify, you'll find it. There's an audio version, not just the live ones. So this was obviously like a studio recorded one you just heard. That exists, as do live ones. I don't know that acoustic version is on any album specifically, but you can find it on Spotify. Yes, I prefer the original slightly, and there are times that I'll just hit play on the acoustic one because it's mellow and it calms me the hell out. So it's kind of that's what I was saying about Black Hole Sun. While it is still that song, it feels different. It just feels different sometimes. So that's kind of why I went with it. Oh. Connie, I love you. That hurts.
Yeah, Connie, you're wrong about that.
You're wrong.
We love you, but you're wrong.
I love stirring shit up there.
Yeah, okay. Guess what? You live in the same house as her. You don't.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
That is a genuine conversation we have a lot. It's just,
that's, you know, okay, because
I really like Foo Fighters. She doesn't.
And, you like Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. Ow. She's explained why.
Thank you for adding the owl, man.
She's not a big... Yeah, she's not a big fan of, like, screaming music, and specifically Monkey Wrench is her least favorite.
Oh, God, that's my most favorite.
I mean...
And it's because of the screaming.
Where in Everlong does Dave Grohl scream?
Yeah.
No, I think it's just, like, across the board because
Yeah. It's funny because we got some feedback from Skiznot this week about the Is cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. He doesn't like it at all, and he loves the song, and we're having a little talk back and forth on Facebook, and I said this is the thing about music that's so great is that it is subjective, and that what one person may love, somebody else may not, and it grabs you. It either grabs you or it doesn't, and there's a reason for that. And I said everybody's opinion matters unless it's Courtney Love, in which case she just sucks. So we got on record. Not the band. Not the band whole. Not the band as a whole.
Yeah.
Just the a-hole.
Chester.
So this is my next pick, and this is one that I'm curious if anybody thought of it, and if not, I'm kind of shocked. But, like, how is this song? This song kind of has to be on an acoustic list. Like, I don't know. You'll see. What
would you do if my heart was stolen? Because I think of Jimmy Fallon and Jack Black.
More than words to show. That your love for me is real.
Could have been on the duets episode too, my friends. Could have.
Yeah.
This is extreme, more than words, and like you don't get much more acoustic than this. This was a huge acoustic hit, which is funny. This is from their 1990 album Extreme 2, Pornograffiti. And I say it's funny because this was way different for them. Totally different style for Extreme. So much so, it was a ballad, right? So much so that, like, their record company did not want them to release the song. They didn't want to. And the guys fought for it. They really liked it, and they wanted it to be done. Overall, a really good choice. Number two in Australia, one in Canada, two in the UK, and one on the Billboard Hot 100. Went platinum in Australia and Canada and gold everywhere else. I love this song. I think this song has great harmonies. Again, it's that real mellow feel. And the... If you remember to go on Stewie's little rant here in the music video, I mean, they're just sitting in the like a warehouse kind of thing, right? Yeah. And you definitely kind of have that room reverb and ambiance behind the guitar. It's just a really chill song. But I want to tell a real quick story about this song. This is just one of those personal kind of fun stories. My mom hated this song. And well, I'll tell you why. My mom, we would get in this argument with my mom, and she wasn't like a prude or anything, but my mom used to say, I hate this song because, not because it's a bad song, because they're singing about sex, and I think it's crude. And we're like, what do you mean they're singing about sex? She's like, he's saying that, like, I need more than words. You gotta sleep with me to show me you love me. We're like, Mom, that's not true. That's not what this song is about at all. And she's like, yes, it is. We're like, no, it's not. And she's like, it's not romantic at all. We tried telling her it was... the song is actually about how cheap words become when you say them over and over again, and that actions speak louder than words, and she just wouldn't buy it. Well, that's been confirmed. I have confirmation, Mom, so in heaven you can hear this.
Yeah, take that,
Nuno Betancourt, yeah. Right? He's the guitarist on this song, and Betancourt described it as a warning that the phrase will become meaningless. People use it so easily and so lightly that they think you can say that and fix everything, or you can say that everything's okay. Sometimes you have to do more and have to show it. There's other ways to tell somebody you love them.
Yeah.
There, Mom.
Yeah.
But it always used to crack me up. There were two songs specifically she and I used to argue about all the time. More Than Words was one of them. And the other one was Beth by Kiss. She hated that song too, because the whole song is about him basically not going home to his wife or girlfriend or whatever, and saying, well, I'm playing with the boys. What do you expect me to do? What can I do? I'm stuck here, right? And my mom's like, so he's just blowing her off. I said, see, I don't think that's what it is at all. I think he's remembering what he said to her. I think she's already left him, and now the words are going through his head like, holy shit, this is what I said to her, and now she's gone. I shouldn't have done it. Like, totally. I think this is an afterthought. Like, Beth, what can I do? Anyway, it was just one of those fun personal stories, and I thought of it, and there you go. So my third choice was also one Kevin tried to put on his list, but I beat him to it. Here's the thing, Kev. I want you to know this. It only made my list because and I almost excused it anyway because of the original, but there was an acoustic version of a song from 2017 that I really wanted to put on my list, and I almost did it. And if you haven't heard it, it's amazing. Please go check it out. If you have not heard A-ha's unplugged cover of Take On Me from 2017, it is slowed down. It is acoustic. It is totally different song and really great. But it's 2017. I'm like, well, the original's not, but this one is. So I just went ahead and left it off, especially since I knew this next one needed to be talked about. I actually almost talked about another song from this particular unplugged session too, but I'd already put all this on and got all the notes, so I'm sorry, Kevin. Here's my final choice and one of Kevin's.
Please don't say we'll never find a way. Tell me all my love today, Layla. Got me on my knees, Layla.
I'm begging, darling, please.
This is Layla, Clapton's 1992 Unplugged, amongst one of the most popular Unplugged concerts of all time, kind of up there with Nirvana's Unplugged. These are just really famous ones. So Clapton actually saw quite a few hits come from his Unplugged album. That's why I said I could have talked about different ones that I almost did. Tears in Heaven, for example, I considered highly. The album itself won 3 Grammy Awards at the 35th Annual Grammy Awards in 1993 and became the best-selling live album of all time. And it was Clapton's best-selling album, selling 26 million copies worldwide. The original version of this was Derek and the Dominoes from 1972. And Clapton does this unplugged one, right? You know, and he decides he wants to do a slowed-down version of the song in acoustic, right? He says it's a song he really enjoyed from his youth when he was younger, and so he wants to do it. They complete the unplugged album, and everybody wants this album to be released except for Eric Clapton. He just doesn't want the album to be released. I can't even find why he didn't want it to be released, but he didn't. Anyways, producers, I guess, come to him and they're like, listen, okay, we don't know. Let's do a limited release, right? Let's do a limited release. And he says, okay, cool. They do it, sells out instantly, like right away. I think you guys can probably figure out what happened after that. It's like, boom, limited release, gone. So let's pull back the limited release and then just do a full release. So they did. So when Eric Clapton is asked about the acoustic version of the song by the MTV network, he said, Layla sort of mystified me. I have done it the same all these years and never, ever considered trying to revamp it. And a lot of artists do that, you know. Bob Dylan, for instance, changes everything every time he plays. And I thought this was another great opportunity to just take it off on a different path, to put it on a shuffle and, for a start, making it acoustic denied all the riffs, really. They would have sounded a bit weak, I think, on the acoustic guitar. So it just seemed to become jazzier somehow. And, of course, I'm singing it a whole octave down, so it gives it a nice kind of atmosphere. This version of the song was number 7 in Australia, number 1 in Canada, 45 in the UK, 12 on the Billboard Hot 100. And everybody fucking knows it, right? I mean, who doesn't know this version of Layla? I mean, what's really cool about it is we all know the original too, right? We all know the Derek and the Dominoes version of Layla, and we all know this version. For me, it was just one of those kind of like, I really want a Clapton Unplugged song on there, and Layla was the first one I went to. Sorry, Kev. So there you go. There are our picks for acoustic covers. I did put the word out. We didn't get a lot of feedback on it, actually, but I did put the word out and ask some people what they would put on. We got more for our acoustic than we did for our duets, I can tell you that much. So Mike Brinkman, always giving us some good input there, Mike. Mike says, I'm not a Nirvana fan at all, but I do like their acoustic cover of Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World. Yeah, obviously. Like I said, we could have done some Nirvana Unplugged stuff. And I'm curious, that was something I wanted to ask you guys. We all kind of avoided Nirvana. What song would you guys have picked from Nirvana's Unplugged? Let's start, Stewie. What do you think you would have picked from Nirvana's Unplugged if you would have went with one?
Probably Lithium.
Lithium? It's a great song. Matt, what do you think you would have picked off Nirvana's Unplugged if you would have picked one?
I think it's called Plateau.
Okay.
If that was all there.
Kev, what about you?
Man Who Sold the World.
Man Who Sold the World. 100% I would have. We've talked about it on the show before. Those are all great choices, man. But it was one of those things. I think we all thought somebody was
going to. Polly. Polly is a good one, too.
Yeah, their live cover of Polly was really good. We also got some Skiznot. He said he would do Cracking by Suzanne Vega. He said if the original track isn't unplugged enough, she recorded it completely unplugged on the 1997 album. He said she's my go-to acoustic guitar-based songwriter. I'm sorry. And then and I was told I have to read it exactly like this. So Connie gave us her input. She said that a-hole, before we all knew he was an a-hole, Aaron Lewis, when he was in Stained doing Excess Baggage.
I thought he did great in concert.
And then we got some from the Cubicle Chat podcast. If you guys haven't checked out the Cubicle Chat podcast, please go check them out. What do I got? I'm sorry. I'm pulling the list really quick. He had asked me, he said, can it be like, can it be a cover? What can it be? And I said, dude, it don't matter either or whatever you want. You just let us know. And he said, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin, Nutshell by Alice in Chains, their unplugged version, and Nothing Compares to You by Chris Cornell. So that's what we got there. So some good stuff, man. I think aside from the controversy of who's allowed to drop the N-word and the controversy of what does in fact make an acoustic. But these are some of the discussions we like to have. And I really want to get your feedback from the listeners out there, what you guys think. Like, what do you think? Like, do you agree with Matt about what makes an acoustic song? Or are you right and you agree with me? I'm just kidding. I know, Dick. No, seriously, though. No, this is one of the beautiful things about music is everybody has opinions and everybody has tastes. And I think Stewie and I used to talk about this a lot back in the day. And he agrees with me now. But I remember Stu's not a Beatles fan at all. And neither is my wife. It's not that she dislikes them. She's just not a fan. And I love the Beatles. Like, probably most definitely in my hierarchy of some of the best bands of all time. And Stu used to look at me and go, the Beatles suck. I'm like, dude, you can't say that. Oh, I just did. I'm like, well, you can say it, but you sound like an idiot when you say it. You can tell me I don't like the Beatles. You can tell me I don't listen to their music. But to say a band sucks that have sold more albums than almost anyone else and your favorite band has done a cover of and would tell you they are inspired by them, which they are. Motley Crue has said they were inspired by the Beatles. And he's like, okay, you're right. I shouldn't say they suck. I'm like, right. I don't like Elvis, for example. I like a couple Elvis songs.
Right. They don't suck. They're horrible.
I'm not into Elvis's music, but I would never say he sucks because it's just I don't like a lot of the style that he does. we've talked about this a lot with country music. There's some bad country music. Listen, there's some.
Yeah. Go back and listen to our 2000s country episode.
That's not country. That's some amorphous blob that they tried to convince me was country. But the music is a very subjective thing. It's a personal taste thing, man. And that's one of the things that's great on this show, because I know all of us well enough to know now that we all have some similar tastes and then some very different tastes. So we talked about it. I think a couple of weeks ago, Stu said on the show, like, his tastes tend to be a little more mainstream. Matt's tend to be a little more obscure bands. Kevin got hit in the head with something and listened to music afterwards, right. Which is why we get Tebow Motto.
I think he's still getting hit
an ass pocket full of whiskey.
I listened to that Tebow Motto song a few times since then. It's growing on me, by the way.
Thank you.
We get an ass pocket full of whiskey.
I know my chicken.
You got to know your chicken. The unofficial theme song of the mixtape. So that's it. That is our acoustic stuff for this week. A couple of different things. We are coming, you know, to the end of the season and everything. We hope everybody enjoys their upcoming Christmas. We got a couple more episodes coming out. One of them is our Christmas song episode. We're going to be going into season 5 after the new year, and we've talked about this, and so we're going to kind of let you guys know the way it's going to work moving forward. Stu's trying to do the calculations, man. We're going into season 5. We've been doing this for 4 years. He's counting, which is very weird. We'll be going into our 5th year.
Is he taking his shoes off too?
It's like Vince ran out of fingers. It's like Stu, 5's only on one hand. So we've talked about we're going to be changing format. I'm going to really quickly kind of let you guys know what that means. We're going to continue talking about music, and we're going to talk about other things as well. We're going to do an hour-long show. We're going to really work on that, and it's going to be 2 30-minute segments, one about music, one about another topic. And each week, that topic will change. We have some ideas of how that's going to happen. We have some different topics in mind, and then we're going to do almost like a random way we pick it, and then we'll talk about it on the show. So we're going to try to tighten things up a little, make it a little easier for the folks at home to listen. With that being said, if you guys have certain topics you wouldn't mind us discussing, bring it. Also, we're not going to strictly talk 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. There'll be a lot of that. But we're going to open it up a little bit because we are starting to meet people and get to know bands and go to conventions and stuff that are, you know, we want to be able to highlight some of that on the show. So we're going to open it up a little and move forward. And hopefully you guys stick around and appreciate it and like what we do. I hope. Last thing I want to mention, and I'll see if you guys have anything you want to say. My podcast has my audiobook podcast has launched. If you want to go have a gander.
You have a podcast?
Yeah, I do. It's Lyric the Novel. Lyric the Novel. So a slide whistle is not fitting for the story.
Right.
It is a horror audiobook that I'm releasing. So far, there's an introduction episode and I do one of my short stories. At least the first chapter is probably out by the time you're listening to this. And I'm going to be releasing each week if you guys want to go have a listen. That would be cool. It is horror, and it is not like overly graphic, but it is graphic. There's a warning at the beginning. So if you're not into that, listen anyway because you love me. So please listen. Anybody else got anything they want to mention or shout out before we close this one out?
Depending on when this comes out, I am in full Krampus mode. Getting ready for Christmas.
Is there a pill you could take for that?
Krampusol.
Did you get the video I sent you about the Columbus, Ohio Krampus Festival? I sent you one. Yeah, massive, dude. It's like
that's awesome.
Matt has a Krampus costume and he goes to Krampus festivals.
Yeah, there's one in St. Joe. I'm actually going to be going to it at the time of release, depending on if this is the next episode or not.
So forgive me.
2 weeks.
Forgive me. What's a Krampus?
Stu needs to be.
You don't know the tale about Krampus?
Oh, let's tell the tale of Krampus. We'll do it off air.
Yeah, we'll tell you.
Yeah, it's
hits kids over the head, throws them in a bag. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Eats them, whatever.
Think of a demon like that is kind of Santa's partner in crime. We don't really have it too much here in America. It's more of a like Germanic and like Austrian area kind of folklore type.
Kind of like El Diablo.
El Diablo.
Kind of, yeah. We'll send you pictures later and videos. Yeah. It's pretty great. Lots of fire and just people drunkenly running the streets.
Like a devil mixed with a chupacabra.
Lots of fire.
Ooh, chupacabra.
That's for you, Ace. There's some fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fire.
But yeah, I'll be at the St. Joe Krampus Knock Festival. In costume.
Do you know what's the date? Do you have a date?
Yeah, it's going to be December 8th.
So, hope you enjoy it.
Next week. Yeah.
This probably came out like the day after or something. Like, depending. Oh, I should probably let that know. We'll let me know. But there's a reason some of the episodes came out late. There was some stuff going on. medical stuff. Not mine. Everybody's okay. But, yeah, it was there was a big scare for me. One of my kids.
In a way, it was kind of yours.
But I mean, it wasn't me personally. It was one of my kids. And
true.
So, anybody else have anything before we close out? Righty then. Hey, guys, we really appreciate it. Please come back. Please share. Remember, there's Spotify playlists out there for almost everything we talk about. I know we did a remakes episode a couple weeks ago, and I had a feeling you would run into some trouble with that one. Matt had trouble. Some of the remakes just aren't there. Which I kind of had a feeling that might happen, especially with one in particular. I was like,
sadly. I'm
surprised.
Yeah.
So, but go check out those playlists. Go check out those playlists. Yeah, Echo and the Bunnymen. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I think that's all we got, guys. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. And remember, until next, we have the opportunity to speak to you fine folks at home to always
stay awesome.
I've been holding the coffin for
there are times that you feel like your head is a big old bucket filled with fuzzy dreams, 'cause you wish you were a Muppet, but you can't play the music and you can't light the lights, and it's all you can do just to make it through any more of these lonely nights. So you grab your plate of mixtape and you pop it in the slot, and you scream two words along with all the nerds, 'cause right now it's all you've got. Stay, stay awesome. Plant a tree inside your heart and let it blossom. Awesome. You gotta live your life, don't stay curled up like a possum. And if you think you're going crazy, don't go,
don't go.
Just stay. Stay cool.